John 14, we're going to look at, as we begin, answered prayer. How many have prayed a prayer and got no answer? Right? We've all done that. And you ask the Lord sometimes, if you're like me, Lord, what in the world am I doing wrong? Are you mad at me? Did I do something wrong? And we're going to study this, and I hope you're seeking God in prayer, because when you have a prayer answered, it is one of the most thrilling experiences in life. Boy, it's exciting. And I hope you are. I hope you're praying specific prayers and not just general prayers, because we're looking forward to the day that those prayers are answered. Okay, John 14, entitled this again, Answered Prayer. Now look down at verse 12, if you will. We'll pick up there. He says, Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. Okay? So we see here as we begin. Now notice in your notes that prayer is a wonderful privilege. We know that, given to us as children of God. It is our means of talking to our Heavenly Father. It speaks to us. He speaks to us through His written word. We talk to Him through prayer. So it's very simple. The Lord speaks to us through the Word of God, and then we speak back to Him through prayer. Nothing of an audible voice that we hear from heaven. It's all in the age in which we live. It's through the Word. Okay, so prayer is very vital to our lives. We must pray without ceasing, we're commanded. We must maintain constant communication with our God. Jesus taught that men ought to always pray and not to faint. Well, notice Luke 18:1. He spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought to always pray and not to faint. 1 Timothy 2:8, I will therefore that men everywhere lift up holy hands without wrath and doubting. It is God's will that we pray, and He promises to answer us when we do pray. Jeremiah 33:3, call unto me, I'll answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. And Jesus said, if you ask anything in my name, I'll do it. Now, so we see that answered prayer is very important. I said this before, but again, if you're in a state right now where you're waiting on an answer, and you're living and doing what you're supposed to do, and you're not living outside of the will of God, you're waiting on an answer to prayer, you're in a very safe place. And you've heard this before, I'm sure, but a non-answer from God is an answer, right? What's He doing right now? Well, He's orchestrating and organizing and positioning us where we need to be. And that's very clear. So if you're waiting on an answer right now, don't get mad at God. It amazes me. It shocks me, really, that people get so upset with God because He won't answer. But they never come to Him in prayer. It's not a consistent prayer. It's when they need Him all of a sudden and they say, Lord, help me. And then they get mad at God. There's a song put out many, many years ago, and I don't advocate the song, but you may remember the old country song. He said, thank God for unanswered prayer. Remember that song? And the story goes that he's praying for this particular thing to be done, but it never came to fruition, never happened. And later on, he married another girl, and he said, well, Lord, thank you for unanswered prayer back then. You think about it, that's true. And we have to get in line with the will of God and understand what He wants for us. That's what we're going to see tonight. How do we get answers to our prayer? Okay, so God stands willing to hear and to answer our prayers if we will simply meet His condition. Remember, He is God, not me. He makes the promise. He always keeps His promise. We must meet His conditions. We must have the right attitude in our hearts. Then as we ask, He will hear and He will answer. Okay? 1 John 5:14, notice that. And this is the confidence that we have in Him. If we ask anything according to His will. Now, underline that. That's the important part. He heareth us, and if we know that He heareth whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of Him. Right? So we have to pray according to His will. And that's very clear. Are you praying is a question. Are you getting through to God? Can you say that you have received definite answers to prayer recently? You prayed specifically for something. You know that God heard the prayer and you received a definite answer to that prayer. If we pray and do not receive definite answers to our prayers, something's wrong. Something's wrong. And so again, pray specific. Now we pray in general, usually, Lord, bless our church and more souls to be saved and watch over our families and protect my business and help. That's general. But I'd encourage you to pray more specific, and you know this already. But pray. Just one recently, I said, Lord, I haven't been able to see somebody actually come to the Lord for salvation in a while. Would you send someone my way? well, Sunday happened. I thought, praise the Lord. That was just a little answer. And when you have an answer to prayer like that, boy, you get excited. You know, whoa, nobody else knows about it but you, you and the Lord. And it's a sweet time. But you think about it, pray specifically so you can see it. Okay, now the problem is not with God. Notice the next paragraph. The problem is with us, right? If we are not receiving definite answers to our prayers, it's because those prayers must not be getting through to God. We are saying prayers, but God is not hearing them. If God is not hearing my prayers, it is because something is wrong in my life. It may be unrepented sin. Now, Psalm 66, 18, I'm sure you've heard it before. It says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. We thought about what a blessing that is. If God gave us everything we asked for while we were going away from Him, we would never come back to Him. So a sobering thought to think about. It may be that I am praying selfishly. Prayers do not get through and we do not ask according to His will. We must have the right attitude in our hearts. We ask Him, He will hear, He will answer. Okay? So again, let's look at the first one. We must believe God. We must believe Him. That's just basic, but I wanted to have that there so we understand that. Mark 11, 22, Jesus answering said unto them, have faith in God. Verse 24, therefore, if I say unto you that what things soever ye desire when you pray, believe that ye receive them and ye shall have them. Now again, clarifying those quack, weird bozos on TV. Okay, I'll be nice about it. But they say, well, send us this money and we'll say a special prayer over you and you receive these things. I heard one of the little old ladies gave all, her whole savings to this guy. Not so much on TV now, it's more on the internet, to this guy back in the 90s or whatever. And he sent her a little thank you note. I've prayed over this and thank you. Well, what was he doing? He was funding his jet, his mansion, all this stuff. And this poor little lady with a sincere heart gave it all up. And so understanding that these guys that preach what's called the health and wealth or the prosperity gospel, that say, you pray to God and He'll answer. He'll give you whatever you want. That's not what God said. You pray according to His will. You don't pray for materialism necessarily. We're praying. That's what He says. We must believe God. Do you believe He will answer? Hebrews 11, 6, without faith it's impossible to please Him. Well, why is that? For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. He will answer. By our own belief, we tie God's hands in our lives and stop the answers to our prayers. Our own unbelief, excuse me. Mark 6, 5 says, and He could do there no mighty work, save that He laid His hands on a few sick folk and healed them. And He marveled because of their unbelief. And He went round about the villages teaching. It is clear in Scripture. Very tragic and sad that we don't receive answers. And it's nothing to do with God, okay? So believe God. You must believe who He is and He's able to do. 2, obey the revealed will of God. Okay? We already read 1 John 5. He's revealed this to us. He's revealed His will to us in His Bible, right? Turn the page there so we can keep going. But notice some of these things I have. Well, it's very clear in Scripture. Are we obeying the revealed will of God in our lives? 1, or A, notice, it's God's will that I be saved and follow Him in baptism. Those are clear. The first step to knowing the will of God is getting saved. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. That's the first step. God's will is that more would be saved. Obviously, it's God's will that I belong to a local church, Bible-believing church, be a part of it, be involved with it. It is God's will that I faithfully attend that church as best as I can. It's God's will that I tithe my income, be faithful in giving, putting God first in my finances. It's God's will that I read my Bible and pray. It's His will I witness for Him where I am and wherever I am. It's God's will I separate myself from worldliness. It's His will I confess to Him when I sin. It's God's will I submit to the authority or authorities placed over me. It's God's will that I forgive offenses against me. These are all scriptural clarifications that we have. These are the basics. This is the ABCs of Christianity. And yet a lot of seasoned Christians, or they claim to be Christians, don't do half of these. Okay? Don't do half. I'm shocked when I hear people and how much time they spent in prayer during the week. And now I'm talking about myself. How little time they spent in the Scripture, in the Bible. And I think about that. These are just the basics of the of walking with God. So do you know the will of God? You can. And if you're obeying Him, you will have answers to prayer. Very clear. Thirdly, know the proper authority for prayer. Okay, we already talked about that in verse 14 again. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. God answers prayer on the authority of Jesus' name. Now, very clearly, we have to pray in Jesus' name. People say, why? I was praying with an individual one time, and they said, in God's name, amen. Now, nothing wrong with that. We know what they're saying. But the clarification in Scripture is Jesus' name. And that's why we say Jesus' name. There's power in the name of Jesus. That's just a hands-down basic thing we know. At the name of Jesus, not at the presence of Jesus, at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that He is who He said He was, to the glory of God the Father. The name is very important. When they said the name of Jesus, Yeshua, literally there was power in that, right? The men were blown backwards when they came to arrest Him. So anyways, that's why we pray in the name of His name. God answers prayer on the basis of Jesus' righteousness. And by the way, you need to settle in your heart who Jesus is. You still believe in 15 other possible... I talked to a fellow just recently. Well, is Jesus really the only way? I mean, can't there be other ways? And I said, not if you know this book, right? Not if you know this Bible. I don't know what to say. You have to throw this out the window if you want to say there's other ways. Because we're not... We didn't come up with that. He said, I am the way, the truth, the life. There's no man comes unto the Father but by me. I don't know what to do with that. I point him right to the Bible. That's all we can say, right? So there's power in the name. God answers prayer on the basis of Jesus' righteousness. Okay, we know these verses, but let me just read them again. Isaiah 64, 6. We are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousness is, that's what we do, right and good and honest. Well, there is filthy rags. We all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities like the wind have taken us away. Philippians 3:9, and be found in Him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. So God answers prayer on the basis of His righteousness. Okay, again, it's not my righteousness. Not one of us deserve an answer to prayer. Do you ever think about that? As sinful as we are, to speak to, I mean, you can't even get in to see the king, the new king. Did you watch some of that? The ceremony of the new king? How pathetic was that? I mean, you may have enjoyed that. I don't know. I didn't watch that. I just saw clips of it on the news, but they said he's the saddest looking king to ever take the throne. He just sat there with the face. Anyways, whatever. The coronation, is that what it's called? You can't even get in to see him. Going jumping through hoops and ladders. You know that. We come to Jesus Christ, not on my own right, because of Him. Because of Him. And He'll answer our prayers. Okay, you know that. Letter C, God answers prayer because of Jesus' intercession. Now, this is fascinating. Okay, go to Hebrews 7 with me. Hebrews 7. I have the verse 25 in your notes there. But I do want you to see this. Hebrews 7. Go to verse 22, if you will. Hebrews 7:22. I know the book of Hebrews is a little bit difficult to read and understand, but I want to encourage you to reread through it again as often as you can, because it is a fascinating book. Okay, verse 22, notice, by so much was Jesus made a surety of a better testament. Now, the whole theme of Hebrews is Jesus is better. He's better than the law, than our works, than anything else. Verse 23, and they truly were many priests, because they were not suffered to continue by reason of death. But this man, because he continueth ever, hath an unchangeable priesthood. Wherefore, he is able also to save them to the uttermost, completely, that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. For such a high priest became us. He became a man who was holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and made higher than the heavens, who needeth not daily, as those high priests, to offer up sacrifice for his own sins, and then for the people's. Then underline this in your Bible, for this he did once. Amen. Aren't you thinking we got to wait for some priest to go in and sacrifice and make sure everything's in order and place? Oh, we got to wait every... He did this once. Once he's done. When he offered up himself. Okay, notice that. He offered up himself. He was always in control. Nobody took and arrested him and forced him to die on the cross. He offered himself up. For the law maketh men high priests, which have infirmity. They're sinful people. But the word of the oath, which was once the law, maketh the Son, capital S-O-N, who is consecrated forevermore. Okay. Now again, I know it's a little bit confusing on some of that, but very clear. We don't wait for a priest who is a sinner himself to give offering and sacrifice for our sins like the Old Testament. He did it once. Okay, he answers prayer based on Jesus' intercession. We do not go as the Catholics do. Now, bless their hearts, and we're trying to reach them with the gospel to correct them on some things. But we don't go to Mary. They petition Mary. It's called Mariolatry, a worship of petition Mary. Mary, would you ask your son if he would please bless my family? Would you? No, we don't have to do that. Again, you can't get through 3/4 of the New Testament. It's going to trip you up. And this Bible corrects a lot of bad theology, doesn't it? If we'll just study the Bible. Okay, he's interceding for us, daily interceding for us. And Satan, by the way, daily, habitually, when we get to heaven and find out how many times a day he tried to kill us, we're going to be shocked. Jesus stands daily as intercession. Holy Spirit stands as an intercessor. Nope, you can't have him today, right? No. We're literally inches from death every day. I mean, minutes, inches from death every day. He doesn't allow it. He stands as an intercessor, and our prayers can go up to him. Okay, so we have that personal relationship with the Father, but that relationship is always based on Jesus Christ. It is because we know him that we are known by the Father. We must have the correct attitude when we approach him in this prayer. Now notice again here, fourthly, we desire the right things. Psalm 37, verse 4, delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. He'll give us what we desire. Again, clarifying, we desire what he desires. It's not that, if you're living outside the will of, you're not right with the Lord, you're going to desire things that aren't good. I mean, not necessarily sinful, but you want a bunch of materialistic things. But when you're right with the Lord, your desires now become, I want to see people saved, I want to invite someone to church, I want to help other people know the Lord. Notice letter A, we learn the difference between need and lust. Okay, go to James 4 with me. Book of Hebrews, next is James, right after Hebrews. James 4, verse 1. Whence come wars and fightings among you? Good question. Come they not hence, even of your lusts that war in your members? Ye lust and have not. Ye kill, desire to have. Cannot obtain. Ye fight in war, yet ye have not. Well, why? Because ye ask not. Ye ask and receive not, because ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your lusts. Upon your lust. We can ask amiss. We must understand, what's the difference between a need and a lust, or a need and a want? You and I need clothing. We know that. May not need the latest fashion. We need shelter. May not need a new home. Oops, I don't. You need transportation, you may not need a new car. You know what I'm saying, right? And so often I go after those things, not being able to discern or differentiate between the two. So very clear. What is it? And again, he'll clarify it if we spend time in prayer. Lord, is that what you want me to pray for? Letter B, learn where to place your affection. Okay, let's go to Colossians 3. Go back to Colossians. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. Chapter 3, and always a good thing to mark in your Bible. Colossians 3, verse 1, notice that. Give you a minute to get there. Colossians 3, verse 1. If ye then be risen with Christ, well, we are, hopefully, we're saved. Seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection, things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, your life is hid with Christ in God. He says in verse 5, mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, that carries with it a lustful coveting, covetousness, which is idolatry. Okay, so anyways, he says mortify that. That's kill it. Put it to death. those things on this earth? Are we desiring the right things? Are we clarifying that? Setting our affection on the right things. Love the peace of God in your heart. Love the presence of God in your life. Love the power of God on your ministry. Love to honor God with all your heart. If these things be true, your attitude will be right. These things are true. You will have no lack of temporal things you need for the work of God wants you to do. Matthew 6 again. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness and all these things. Are you desiring the right things? I pray so often about something and I realize I'm asking amiss, like James says. We pray and our prayers are very shallow. If you're like me, so I'm very shallow. And I don't get into deeper prayer, detailed prayer. Pray, Lord, please save that person. They need to be saved. Well, why don't you take some time and pray a little bit more detailed? Lord, work in their life to get their attention. And Father, if there's an opportunity where you'd have us cross paths this week, Lord, give me the strength to help them or let them know I'm praying for them or whatever the case, or share the gospel. If you are not comfortable doing that, say, hey, would you come to church with me and talk to Brother Tim? Okay. And you know, understanding that, desiring the right things. We know that. Now let's look at 5 and let's wrap it up here. Oh, we got another part. We may not finish it all. Know the heart of God. Now this can be done. We got to know the heart. He's revealed himself to us in the Bible. Very clear. He's a real person with feelings like ours. Now, let me clarify again. He does not have, the emotions like we do. Okay, he doesn't just fly off the handle or get mad or, you know, get upset or things like that. You understand what I mean. But he does, according to the scripture, have feelings. Hebrews 4:15, we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, and then here's the key, yet without sin. Okay, he was tempted just like us. We know he wept, he cried, he had emotion in the regard of sorrow, okay, all of that. He was touched by our infirmities. He is touched by our behavior. We can grieve him, and we can offend him. You know that. So we must be very careful about that. He's very much concerned with sinners. He's very much concerned with sin. He's very much concerned with his children. Well, we know he corrects us, trains us as a loving father. Hebrews 12 talks about the chastening of God. He will chasten us. If we sin, the first thing is conviction. You have conviction. I shouldn't have done that. That was wrong of me. And we get it right. If we don't respond to that, we can get the chastening hand of God. That's basically him disciplining us, and we've all been there. He's had to do something, take away something or cause something in our lives, and that's not a good day. If we still don't respond to that, as one person I just recently heard of, the Lord may take us home early, and we don't want that either. But we're causing more damage to the gospel, the kingdom, than we are and leading others to him. So just again, that's the kind of progression there. But he's much concerned with us. Okay, very concerned. Therefore, he wants to hear our prayers. 6, learn the promises of God. He promises to answer when we call. Jeremiah 33, we read that. He promises to give us rest. By the way, we don't know the word of God and the promises of God. We're going to have a tough time as a Christian. Because instead of when everything goes to pot, and everything goes out the window, everyone's going, what do we do now? You're not the same one. They're going, oh, well, I don't know what to do. No, you're the mature Christian that says, well, the Bible says, you know, he's in control. I know he's working, even though he may not have answered us immediately. We learn that. We learn he gives us rest. He promises to give wisdom for our trials. He promises to give escape from temptations. We don't have to go through that. We can escape it. And he promises to go with us in all our labors. Joshua 1:9, have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid. Neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. Again, if we know he has our best interest in mind, everything that comes into our lives, he ordains or permits it. If we understand that, then we know he's not just turning a deaf ear to us. He may not answer us immediately, but he will answer. He's there. If everything is on his timetable, he knows everything that you're doing. We know it. Okay, he promises to supply our daily needs. Notice some have counted over 30,000 promises in the Word of God. I don't know if that's how accurate that is, but I like that. Many of them are for us today. We need to know them. We need to claim them. then pray in Jesus' name, expecting God to answer. Now, we don't hold God to it and twist his arm, but when you do pray, you say, Lord, you did say here in Jeremiah 33, you know, Lord, you did say, I say this often, Lord, you promised in 1 Corinthians 1 and 2, you said that you use the weak things of the world to confound the mighty. I'm your man. You know, you said, Lord, that you take the small things or the insignificant or the whatever the case is, right? But I'm saying you can use those promises. That's what we do. And so we understand it. Now let's look at the last one, and I'll try to not belabor this point too much. We learn how to interpret the promises. Well, he promises to do things for us, as we read in John 14. The setting of the promise is verse 12, faith in Christ and work done for Christ. Now, the purpose of the promise, notice that, to accomplish his work, to glorify the Father and the Son. And the conditions for claiming the promise is that we believe on him, verse 12, do his work, obey his commands, and ask anything you need done. Okay, so you see the progression there. I'd encourage you to study this again, this portion of Scripture for yourself. Letter B, notice he promises to do things to us, not only for us, but to us. John 15, the setting of the promise. Let me turn to John 15 here, and I want to read this. But no, what he says is very fascinating, as we've been looking at. Now, our theme for the year is more. We find that in John 15. We took that out of there. John 15, 7, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Okay, so there's the setting of the promise. Is the branches abiding in the vine and bearing fruit? That's how we set the promise. The purpose, then, is to bear fruit which glorifies the Father. That's the purpose. Thirdly, the conditions for claiming this promise, verse 7, as we read, is we abide in Christ and allow his word to abide in us, obey his commands, and ask anything you want done. One of our girls recently, I had to sit down with, but they weren't doing what they were supposed to do during the week. I asked them to do their chore at home. They all have chores. They threw a fit. Did you do your homework and finish your school? Threw a fit. Did you do this and that? And then on Saturday, what? Daddy, can we go out? And could we go to the store? And could we do this? And I said, well, you didn't have a very good week, you know. And I thought about that with the Lord. I throw a fit all the time, don't want to do what he's asked me to do, don't obey him, I run my mouth like I'm not supposed to, et cetera, et cetera. And then I want everything from the Lord, right? Lord, would you please? Would you give me? Would you help me? We know that. The conditions, we abide in him, obey him, and ask anything. In the letter C, notice, he promises to give us things, to give things to us, excuse me. To do things to us, but to give things to us. The setting of the promise there is the friendship with Christ. The purpose of the promise, 16:24. I'll have you look these up for yourself. The conditions for claiming the promise. Again, obey his commands, be his friend, bear fruit, love one another. Ask the Father in Christ's name. You know, you'd be a friend to the Lord. He's such a good friend to us, isn't he? And a friend is a good friend. A friend, the Bible says, that sticks closer than a brother. He's talking about Jesus. No friend, if I treated a friend like I treat Jesus, boy, they'd get rid of me 20 years ago. I mean, lousy friend you are. Well, what'd you do for me? Died on the cross. What'd you do for me? Stand as an intercessor every day. What'd you do for me? What'd you do for me? And what do I do in return for him? Boy, not much. Not very much. The Lord doesn't ask very much from us, does he? Not very much at all. We'll cover more of this, Lord willing, as we come back together next week. But just thinking about that. Again, take this home and look these verses up for yourself. Correlate them. Put them together in your Bible. Reference, cross-reference, write in your Bible. Do you have answers to prayer? Are you praying? Kids, young people, middle-aged, all of us, are we praying? Are we seeking to pray? How tragic it is for me in my life, and I'll close out here, was that I didn't start praying till I was in my 20s. I mean, I said prayers as a teenager and such, and I know that may be a case for some of you as well. I didn't start praying till I was in my 20s and asking the Lord, I mean, serious prayer. That's tragic, very tragic. And you find people in the Bible who were very close to the Lord, who sought the Lord from a very early age, like David. David was a wonderful man. But as a young boy, I mean preteen, He was already out in the field staring up at the night sky with those sheep. What was he saying? He was praying, writing those psalms. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. That's spending time with the Lord. And when we do, we're going to have answers to prayer. You may be in a position now where you've been praying, but nothing's happening. If you're right with the Lord, stay focused and keep praying. He will answer. He's in the business of answering prayer, and we know that, all right? Okay, well, amen. I'll stop there. Thank you for listening and coming tonight. Again, I'd encourage you, stay in your Bibles this week, stay in your prayer closet, and Lord willing, we'll see you here on Sunday, all right? If you need anything, please let me know if I can be of help in any way. All right, Lord, thank you for this evening and the opportunity to share your word to these dear folks that are so faithful. I say this often, but I know I'm preaching to folks here, especially on Wednesdays, that, Lord, do pray. They're in earnest prayer every day. They're praying for their children. They're praying for the salvation of family and friends. They're seeking you in prayer. And, Lord, I pray you'd help us as we wait for your answers, Lord. Help us to study what we've looked at tonight. Are we where we're supposed to be? Are we in the right place? Are we asking amiss, Lord? Are we wasting your time and my time? I pray for your help. Lord, strengthen us as a church. We need answers to prayer. We're wasting our time. And we're spinning our wheels if we're just praying amiss. Lord, we love you and thank you again. Be with those that couldn't be here tonight. In Jesus' name, amen.